Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. Today, we have a deep dive into the latest in the region with our political analyst, Binyamin Moalem. We're going to round out the episode with a Torah thought by Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York. Welcome to the Israel Daily News, Binyamin Moalem, our political analyst. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Shanna. Good to be back with you.
So we have a lot of different things happening. And in today's short episode, I'd love to discuss the meeting between Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, which took place in the White House on Tuesday with President Donald Trump. I also want to talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia and the United States, because they're working on an agreement to help them move along nuclear weapons. So I want to hear your take on that. And of course, everyone here in the region is wondering, are we here in Israel going to receive some missiles from Iran? It's really been up in the air. A lot of people have been afraid to book travel, to leave the country, to come back to the country. So let's talk about those topics. First, take us over to what happened between Netanyahu and Trump in the White House.
All right. So yesterday, the prime minister met with the president at the White House. This is their eighth meeting since the president returned to office last year. And it comes amid there were some rumblings about how some White House officials are not very happy with the prime minister. They are upset with him for any number of reasons, whether it's because they don't see eye to eyes what should happen next in Iran. That's probably the main thing right now. And there were some reports, though unclear to what extent, that perhaps some officials thought that the prime minister misled the U.S. administration when it came to the Iran war. Whatever the case is, the meeting, as has many of the meetings in the past between the two, you know, when people beforehand were saying, like, you know, this is going to be a bad meeting. The president is very unhappy with the prime minister. And then the meeting appears to go much better than anticipated. That appears to be the case yesterday as well. Now, we don't know a lot of details as to what happened. What we do know is that from what the prime minister said, that it was one of the best meetings the two have ever held. The prime minister was not pressured, according to the accounts from the prime minister's entourage. The prime minister was not pressured to conduct any further withdrawals from Gaza, from Syria, or from Lebanon, which is something that there was some concern about in Israel. There were reports before the meeting that the president wanted the prime minister to make a concession. This is one of the things that the president had wanted. Reportedly, the concession the prime minister made was approving an international stabilization force to enter Gaza, though we're still pretty far off. There's only about 200 troops on this force, and it'll be a while before they can be, it will be a while before they can be deployed. Yesterday, the main focus obviously was Iran. We don't know a lot of the details of to what they spoke about regarding Iran, only that they see eye to eye, according to the prime minister, as to what needs to happen in Iran regarding Iran never obtaining a nuclear weapon and so on. What's interesting is that yesterday, a few hours after the meeting, Iran launched an attack on a U.S. base in Jordan. The Jordanians say they shot down 5 ballistic missiles coming from Iran. This morning, President Trump said he is going to beat the effing S out of Iran for this. So we could anticipate some restart of hostilities in the coming hours. Well, I guess it already happened because Iran already attacked U.S. bases. But this is after, over the weekend, President Trump halted the nightly attacks on Iran because he said that Iran is getting, quote unquote, serious about the talks. So we'll have to see where that goes. But the president did add the caveat today saying that talks will continue and negotiations are ongoing. That's what we're holding with Iran. As far as Israel's concerned, it appears that, you know, Israelis are saying there's absolutely no way that a deal can be reached. The maximum the U.S. is willing to concede to Iran does not meet the minimum that Iran is willing to accept. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Thank you for taking us through that. And do you see that there's a likelihood of Israel being attacked by Iran during this time?
Again, that's a big question that I really don't know the answer to. It does seem that Iran is deterred from attacking Israel. They know, you know, they've been attacking repeatedly U.S. bases in Jordan, Bahrain, and Kuwait. they have refrained from attacking Israel because most likely because Israel will fight back and fight back harshly, something that Iran does not. You know, I guess Iran is kind of set in this. They know what the U.S. is going to do. They know what they're going to do. They don't know what Israel will do, especially if the U.S. doesn't restrain Israel in its reprisal attack. And they don't want to deal with that. That's another front they don't want to deal with. So right now, they seemed content with this back and forth with the United States. A few days ago, it seems, you know, one of the reasons why the president decided to stop the nightly attacks on Iran, and the president said because negotiations were progressing, and mediators also said that, you know, they were progressing very nicely. But CENTCOM chief Brad Cooper said that, you know, the U.S. pretty much struck all of the targets in Iran that related to the Iranian strikes on ships that were traversing the Strait of Hormuz, which is why the U.S. began these strikes 2 weeks ago to begin with. And he said that he told the president that if he didn't say this, the report said that Cooper told the president that if the U.S. wants to continue fighting, it's going to have to reopen the war and go after that 20% of targets that it didn't get to during Operation Epic Fury back in March and April. So the president, not wanting to go full out war with Iran at this point, said, okay, we'll go back to talks and see how if that could bear fruit. The president said, I got nothing to lose. If he told this, I believe, to Barak Ravid of Axios, hey, I stop fighting, stock markets go up, oil prices go down, and if I need to return to war, I can return to war at a later point. So as far as the president, it seems like it's a win-win. You know, right now he reaps the economic benefits of the ceasefire, and then he can go back to war if he feels that to be necessary. Another interesting point is last night, you know, Saudi Arabia has been involved in this proxy war with Iran for quite some time. From 2015 to 2022, there was a civil war in Yemen between the Houthis and the Yemeni government. 300,000 people were killed during that civil war, which ended in 2022 with a ceasefire and the Houthis controlling a large swath of Western Yemen. Now, that ceasefire appeared to collapse last week, and there has been renewed fighting. Now, again, the Yemeni government is backed by the Saudi government, and the Houthis are backed by Iran. And so there's a proxy war for a long time, and the Houthis now have resumed attacking Saudi Arabia in response to a Yemeni government attack last week that tried to prevent a Houthi plane from landing in Yemen. And that now has also led to the Houthis not allowing Saudi ships to traverse the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. Now, this is the strait on the Red Sea. And now with Saudi ships being blocked from the Persian Gulf by Iran and from the Bab al-Mandeb Strait by the Houthis, really hampers Saudi Arabia's ability to ship oil and other goods from Saudi Arabia to the Indian Ocean and to Asia. And this has also led to Iranian proxies in Iraq to fire drones at Saudi Arabia. And last night, Saudi Arabia and the United States fired back, attacking Iraqi militias, or Iranian-backed Iraqi militias in Iraq. The militias say that some 20 operatives were killed. But this is another thing to keep an eye on, because this really does impact the rest of the region. The Houthis now are reportedly talking about, in a Reuters report from today, charging tolls in the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. So just like, you know, their sponsors in Iran want to charge tolls in the Persian Gulf to anybody traversing the Strait of Hormuz, they want to charge tolls in the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. And this is going to really, really be a significant impact on global shipping, because these are two of the main global shipping routes.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We're looking at examples that are being set, precedent that's being set throughout the region. And of course, other countries mimicking that, like you shared. There's actually something that we have about a minute left, but I just want to hear your response. My understanding is that the United States is moving forward with Saudi Arabia in a new agreement that is on its way to Congress, and it is going to help Saudi Arabia continue and work on a nuclear program. I also understand that it was actually the United States that laid the foundation for Iran to have a nuclear program back when the Shah was in power, back when the United States had a good relationship with Iran, before the IRGC in Iran took over in a bloody coup and replaced the Shah. So how do you respond to that? And there's also critiques of the agreement, because they say that Iranians might want a similar arrangement that the Saudis are going to get under this proposed agreement, which is that they're going to have little to no oversight from the international atomic supervisors. So tell me if I'm understanding this correctly and what your response is for that in a brief minute or two.
All right. So first, regarding the Saudi deal with the U.S. from last week. So under the terms of the agreement, reportedly, Saudi Arabia would be allowed to enrich uranium in Saudi Arabia. Now, there's two different kinds of nuclear programs. You could have a nuclear program where you have civilian nuclear power, and Iran has one. It has plants like this. And that outside countries that already enrich uranium, like the United States, for example, would ship in the nuclear rods that are enriched to the minimum amount necessary in order to provide nuclear fuel. And they would use these rods to produce nuclear energy. And then there's the nuclear power plants that allow you to actually enrich uranium. And once a country is able to enrich uranium, it could enrich uranium far beyond the 3-3.5% needed for civilian nuclear power. And this is the problem in Iran. Iran now had been enriching its own uranium. And because it could enrich its own uranium, it could enrich it to weapons-grade uranium, which it appears very close to doing before last year's wars. Last year's war and then this year's second war. Now, what this deal with Saudi Arabia allows, it allows Saudi Arabia to enrich uranium. And this is a big problem for Israel, because if Saudi Arabia is allowed to enrich uranium, they might say, like, hey, if Iran is going to be enriching uranium and Iran is going to be enriching uranium to weapons grade, we need to do that too, because Saudi Arabia and Iran are enemies. You know, outwardly, they might be friendly, but they're not. And so Israel does not want a nuclear race in the region. It cannot have a nuclear powered Iran and a nuclear powered Saudi Arabia. That constitutes an existential threat to Israel. So one of the things that Israel wanted, at the very least, you know, and again, I believe that the deal that the president had, it would include nuclear oversight, making sure that Saudi Arabia does not enrich uranium beyond what is needed for civilian power. But again, as we saw with Iran, that doesn't always mean that they're not going to enrich beyond that.
The New York Times report that I read said that it was limited oversight and that somehow the Saudis were able to negotiate the lowest that they could do in terms of oversight and intervention.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible. I did not see that report, but it could very well be, you know, even we saw with Iran, even with the oversight, you can still circumvent it. And Israel, at the very least, wanted some sort of concession from, you know, the Biden administration would not make a deal with Saudi Arabia for this until Saudi Arabia agreed to normalization with Israel. So at the very least, there would be some sort of peace deal involved. And President Trump reportedly took that out. Now, he backtracked after the deal was announced. He said, well, no, the deal is only going to happen once there is normalization in place with Israel. And then I think he put some other caveat on the enrichment portion. Reports, the actual deal has not been made public, but reports said yesterday that the deal that is being sent to Congress for approval does not include a normalization as a condition for the deal with Saudi Arabia. So again, we don't have all the details because it has not been made public yet. But yes, your concerns are shared by Israel.
Well, thank you so much. And of course, they're never my concerns. They're the concerns of the readers and the viewers and the commentators and the various news sites that I'm reading to make sure that I'm current and up to date. Of course, always across the spectrum. I read right, left, and center. Thank you so much, Binyamin Moalem, our political analyst here at the Israel Daily News. Thanks for joining us and giving us a quick update on the matters of the region.
You're welcome. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you. And now for a Torah thought by Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
Between the destruction of Tisha B'Av and the rejoicing and renewal of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the Haftorahs are messages of consolation to the Jewish people. Though things may seem bleak and God has abandoned us, He promises us that not only is He still with us, but that we will return to the land and the long exile will end with a renewed commitment to keep the Torah and mitzvot faithfully. The Jewish people, and even the nations of the world, might determine that since we have fallen from our spiritual heights, the temple has been destroyed, and we've been thrown into an interminable exile, perhaps God has abandoned us and the covenant between God and his people is broken. But God responds to this claim with love and compassion. Where's your bill of divorce or your bill of sale? He asks. We shouldn't feel despair. Despite our lowly and humiliated state among the nations, God is with us and will not let us be destroyed. Just like we are reminded in the Torah portion, although we suffered through missteps and rebellion, from the making of the golden calf to Korach and his rebellion, God's love remains strong. The promised redemption will come, for we are the children of Abraham and Sarah, who, although spiritually alone in the world, God summoned them and blessed them. So too will he comfort us and turn our weeping into song and thanksgiving. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. Tel Aviv has a low of 25 degrees Celsius and a high of 28 degrees. That's a 77 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 88 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. That's our newsletter. It has our top five stories that we think you should know from throughout the week here in Israel. And I always put a personal note from me at the top so that you can know what my thoughts are on the work or on the news. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our incredible sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, and our writer, Perry Schwartz, as well as our associate producer, Lori May. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.